Kim, thank you for reading the scripture. And as we were reading through it, I thought it's not part of my notes here. I was thinking about going, how many of you have read this story where Jesus is, this story where Jesus is talking with this woman who is a Gentile, not a Jew, okay? And there's an issue there between Jews and Gentiles. So you're not one of us, so you don't deserve anything good. You're Gentiles, which is us, we're Gentiles. And it's almost like you get the impression that Jesus is kind of cruel to her. Like, fine, you know, well, you know, the dogs, you know, they don't get the good food, they just get the crumbs. And I go, what, Jesus, that doesn't sound like you. Like, why would you do that? Why would you talk to her like that? Now, part of the problem is that we only have words to read. So that's why I encourage us sometimes to use a little bit of imagination. And I remember reading a while ago, somebody had said, actually, what this particular commentator thought is that Jesus was winking at this woman and said, go over here. And then he plays out this, you know, well, only dogs, you know, they just get their crumbs, you know, I got you. And so she plays along and she answers beautifully. Whatever you can give, Jesus, I just submit to you, what you can give. And he completely heals, delivers her daughter from an evil spirit. I just love that. I think Jesus smiled and winked at us and at the people when you read in the Gospels more than we realize. And I think he was happy to see this woman. Good, I'm looking forward to helping this woman. She deserves this. Whatever she is, because I love her. So it's great. Love it. So anyways, I'm going to look at it that way. Hey, I want to take a few minutes right at the beginning here before I get into the message. And I was having breakfast with a gentleman from our church a while ago. And in the course of the breakfast, he says to me, well, why do you guys want to change the church name anyways? What's wrong with it? And we had a bit of a discussion, but we never got to finish that part of the conversation because we just kind of jumped all over. It was a good breakfast. I really enjoyed it, really. So the leadership team had mentioned over a month ago or whatever that we're looking at changing our name. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I should take a few minutes and tell you why. Like, why are we looking to change from Rosenberg Community Church to another name? I'm not mentioning the name because I want you, some of you know it, but are aware of the name that we're thinking about. But I want us to think, next week I'll tell you the name that we're thinking about. But I want us to think through why. Why do we as a leadership team feel, we've been talking about this for a long time, it's been on our agenda every month when we meet. And sometimes we talk about it, sometimes we don't, sometimes we let it percolate. Our name is 10 years old. And our church is in a new season, I think a new phase of church life. We're getting pretty full here. I know the directors are trying to figure out what to do with land and a building, and we've been talking about that. We've got a little bit of a building fund going. So there's a bunch of things happening. We're a good church. We're growing church. We're moving on. Part of the reason is our name is confusing and can easily get mixed up. Many have said to me that I must be pastoring that church when you drive into town on the 205. I don't know how many people have said that to me when I'm outside the community. Where are you pastoring? I'm pastoring in Rosner. Oh, you're at that church. No, I'm at the church that meets in the co-op, in the warehouse area. Oh, okay. They kind of have a quizzical look. But there's also, In this town, there's Rosenort Fellowship Church. There's Rosenort EMC, Evangelical Minimum Church. There's Rosenort Community Church. I don't know if you've heard about that one. There's Rosenort Community Center, also an RCC. There's Rosenort Community Fellowship, Facebook. That's a lot of Rosenorts with community in it. And then we acronym everything in this town, which you know I'm against. Because the outsiders, they don't know what RCC is. And somebody said to me a while ago, I go, that's an interesting point. Maybe we actually don't care about our name, Rosenort Community Church, that much. We just acronize it. We just go RCC. We don't actually care about Rosenort Community Church. That's an interesting thought. I haven't thought about it that way. Like, Judy just wouldn't call me TCR. She might call me all kinds of other things. No. But it's Tim or Timothy or whatever. Like, there's a name for a reason. Andy Stanley, in his book Deep and Wide, which is, I believe, a book that many of you had read through at the beginning of this church 10 years ago, discusses the word church. The word church, ekklesia in the Greek, means a gathering of people, an assembly. That's what ekklesia, can you say ekklesia? E-K-K-E-L-E-S-I-A. That's the Greek word in the New Testament for church, ekklesia. It's a gathering of people. It could be any gathering. It wasn't necessarily religious. It was just a gathering of people that got together. And that's what it was. But as Andy Stanley was saying, as we got closer to 300 with Constantinople, the new king of Rome and the whole area, he legalized Christians. He legalized the church because they were under a lot of oppression. And what happens is they ended up changing the word from ecclesia to basilica. A Latin word. How many of you know what a basilica is? What's a basilica? What is a basilica? Answer out loud.
It's a church.
It's a church, yes. You're right. What is a basilica? Is there one in St. Boniface? Or somewhere on Taché? What is a basilica? It's a building. That's what it became, the word, new word for a building. So what happens at the time of Constantinople and all the way through, church began to be a building. A place where Christians met. And so what happens is it changed from a gathering, from a movement, to a building. Now, we live in southern Manitoba, and a few months ago, we needed to be in a building. Nobody wants to get together in parkas and shiver around a fire while we're doing church. Even that term, we need to rethink it. That's a whole other message. We are only in this place maybe 2 hours a week, but we are everywhere else. As a Christian people, we think that churches can also hold names that describe where we want to go and what we want to be and what we do. A name of what Jesus is calling us to be and to do. A verb. A verb. An action word, I think, we think, would be a good name. Now, it's not only about where we sit now, it's about where we're going. number of years ago, when Judy and I lived in Sage Creek, we were trying to plant a church in Sage Creek. Man, is that place growing. We went back there the other day just to drive in. It's crazy. We have the name Daybreak Creek Church. That's not the name of the, that's, I'm just, it's an illustration. Okay? It's not a name for this church, okay? Anyways, we came up with Daybreak Creek Church. And the reason was, is that Daybreak Point Bible Camp is a camp that I became a Christian on the coast of BC. That's where I came to know Jesus. Daybreak. Love it. And if you go in the, depending on your version, it's in the Bible a lot, Daybreak. You can search it out. And Creek, because we're in Sage Creek. And we also have a camper trailer at Cripple Creek Campground, asked Richard on the number one. And we had lots of relationships. I thought maybe we could pull people from Sage Creek and from Cripple Creek and pull that together and start a house church or something in Sage Creek. Well, as you know, it never happened. We tried to get it going. My daughter designed this really nice card that had a purpose and her statement and everything on it. It was really good. And then Carol calls us and we ended up moving to Rosenberg, which is a great story. Yes. But that was where the name came from, where I came from, Daybreak Point Bible Camp, to where we were. But it didn't point forward. And that's our thing. Where are we going? What are we reaching for? What's our goal? What is Jesus forming in us? Like athletes reaching for a goal, or the Stanley Cup, or the FIFA World Cup, but they're reaching for something. The Apostle Paul was reaching and striving for. We talked about that. What are we reaching for? What are we moving towards? Most of us are moving forward. We're growing up. We're learning. We're growing our education. We're growing in our jobs. We're growing in our families. We're taking steps forward. Are we doing that with our faith? Or are we just coming to sit down and wait for Jesus to come? We as a leadership team want us to think and pray seriously about changing our church name towards a name that points forward, that is a verb, encouraging us forward, carrying us forward to Jesus. So when we think about a name, we're thinking about where are we going as a gathering, as a people. Personally, where am I going with Jesus? And corporately, where are we going? That's what we believe a church name should embody. Not just a place, but where we're going. In the month of May, I will do a message series on how to move forward with Jesus. Especially as we move into summer, and often as we slow down on our spiritual lives sometimes, because summer we kind of go, ah. We let a lot of things go. We lose some discipline sometimes. But I want to encourage us that summer is a great time to grow. Can I get an amen from farmers? Right? Summer is a great time to grow. Look at those crazy guys. They're all over the fields, creating dust and everything, and they're ready to grow. And so we should, as a summer, and I'm going to push us and move us over this next month of how to grow and how to make summer count. Summer is a great time to grow. Plants and crops grow. Why not us? Are we ready for a great harvest of what God wants to do in our hearts and what He wants to do here and in Rosemark and in the rural municipality of Morris? Are we ready for that? minute. Just don't let all of that just sink in before I go into the message. And then we'll pray. So let's just be quiet for a moment. Lord Jesus, for me, speaking for me, I am so grateful for this church. Thank you for leading Judy and I here. Thank you for this great church. And Jesus, thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you. Thank you for all that you did. We thank you for our worship. We thank you for our gathering. We thank you for our Kids Connect and our youth ministry and our small groups and all that we could be doing yet. God, thank you. Thank you for all that you have for us. I thank you for the leadership team and the directors and how you're working in each of our hearts and moving, helping to move us as a church under your leadership, Jesus. You are the functional Lord, the active Lord and Savior of this church, and we want to follow you. Lead us. This is your church, Jesus. So thank you. So now, Jesus, we want to take a little more time to look into your word and be encouraged. And to continue following you and being led by you. Open up our hearts and minds. Help me to communicate clearly your word. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Oh, that took a little longer, but we'll get through it. We're here till 12:30. Kidding. Okay. Opening line. The Christian life, the way, includes both sitting and walking. The Christian life, the way, includes both sitting and walking. There are times when we need to sit still, and there are times when we need to move forward. This is for each of us personally and as a church. The way is a name that a lot of people gave to the church in the book of Acts. Church Renewal out of Steinbach uses the way devotional guide. John Mark Comer uses practicing the way. There's lots of different places to talk about the way of the Christian. Did you know that as you sit there, you are doing a verb?
Yes.
Thank you. You know that. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that the verb, it calls it a verb, sit, typically means resting on one's buttocks. That's what it says. Such as sitting on a chair. It's a verb. It also means to be situated or located at a place to babysit or to pose for a portrait or to cover eggs. Brooding. Synonyms including rest, perch, seat oneself, and remain. Note it is a verb. To walk is to move on foot at a moderate pace. I'm reading a really good book right now called God Walk, written by one of my favorite authors. I encourage you to get this one. And he says in here that the average walk is, well, let me ask you, how many miles per hour is a walk? When you're walking, how fast are you going?
3 miles an hour.
You got it. Who was that? Way to go. 3 miles per hour is the average speed of a walk. advancing by steps where at least 1 foot remains on the ground and it is used for a little bit. Have you ever seen speed walking? That looks so fun. And that's where literally the rule is, you have to always have a foot on the ground. That's why it looks so weird. So we're actually kind of like different. It's just weird. Anyways, if you're a speed walker, don't be offended. Walking is used for locomotion, exercise, pleasure. Key synonyms: stroll, hike, amble, march, step, patrol, wander, tramp, stride, traverse. We are moving from one place to another. Do you ever sit and watch people walk? It's actually quite fascinating. Everybody's got a different kind of gait. Everybody's got a different walking. It's fascinating. The words, the scripture uses the word grow, which refers to the process of increasing in size, number, strength, maturity, typically through natural development as we grow, or gradual assimilation of resources, according to the dictionary. We grow by eating, we grow by exercising, we just grow. It applies to the physical growth of plants and fields and people. There's person development, or an increase in amount of intensity, like business or emotions. If any community gets growing, it's us. We get growing, right? The words sit, walk, and grow applies to each of us personally and corporately as a church. Why grow? Why? 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 Why grow in our relationship and our friendship with God? Why sit with God? Why walk with God? And parents, what do we answer when we're tired of our kids asking why?
Because I said so.
Okay, let's move on. No, I'm saying, yeah, it's true. Around your tables, take some time. Why do you sit and walk and grow with God? Why do you do that? I'm assuming we do it. We do. Why do you sit, walk, and grow with God? Why? Go. So why do we sit and walk and grow with God? Because we need God. I'm sure many of the reasons that they're good, I'm just adding. Because we need God now. We need God tomorrow. And we need God even in our death and in heaven. Now I'm going to be going into 2 Peter in a moment. And Peter was expecting, the Apostle Peter was expecting his death at any point. And so he's going to be challenging us forward about why do we need God? Yeah, we all need God. We want God. And there's great benefits to it, but sometimes there's need as well. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? This world seems to be getting to be a tougher place to live. It's getting more complex. There's lots of cultural, social, political issues going all around that we're trying to navigate. How do we do this as a Christian? How do we do this as a church? How do we make it in an increasingly hostile area, depending on where you live in the world, but the political and the cultural and the social fabric of the world is pushing against the church all the time. Then there are our own personal issues and fears and anxieties. We need to be closer to God. or we won't make it with our faith intact. This world and our issues both have the power to destroy our faith. Let me say that again. This world and some of our own personal issues have the power to destroy our faith. I think of the phrase that Jesus had said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus returns, I was telling, we went to a funeral in Steinbeck on Tuesday for a guy that we knew, and the family, and the former pastor that I used to work with saw me, and we talked a little bit, and then he looked straight at me and goes, are you faithful? Just, and if you knew him, like I know him, like you just see him just blaze in his eyes, out of love and care and concern for me. He loves me and respects me, but he's saying to me, are you faithful? Meaning, are you still serving Jesus? Are you still serving the church? Are you still walking? I knew all of that from that one question. That's what he was getting at. Are you still faithful? When Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? I was reading a devotional recently, and it says this. The world is not looking for God. It looks to the universe and to science. That's what the world looks to. You see that? Christians have a different idea. Did you know that? We do. The first line of the Apostles' Creed is, I believe in God, the Father of Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's the first line of this creed that has been going since, started, I think, being written the first draft in around 200 AD. And still stands today. We perceive an unmeasurable power that binds the universe together, and not just an impersonal principle or force, like Star Wars. May the force be with you. What's tomorrow? May the force be with you. I know, it's not my idea. Somebody else came up with it. And Star Wars fanatics remind me of it every May 4th. Okay, moving along. It's not an impersonal principle or force like Star Wars or gravity. It is a supreme being who is knowable and who loves us. This power is best understood as a person. Not just any person, but like a good dad. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Not just God. God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. The world yearns for this. Despite so often rejecting God, you'll hear comments like, the universe is good. Or the universe loves you. Even the way people talk about science betrays this, and they said science teaches us or science shows us. There's a yearning in every human heart for a personal relationship with something more than what we can see and test and measure. This is what the devotional says. The universe and science doesn't give a rip about you. The universe and science doesn't give a rip about you. They can't. The universe is impersonal and without a mind. Science is a concept and academic. But there is a person behind the universe and science who does give a rip about you. He is good, and he thinks about you like his child. He is the one we're looking for. God the Father. Son Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Going to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to take you just through a couple of verses. I'm going to read through it, but I'm going to take you just a couple of verses. So don't move ahead yet till I get there. This passage, and I'm going to spend the rest of May just looking at this particular passage, these 11 verses, is so rich. You can have a black coffee, or you can have, what's your drink?
Lavender
cream chai latte from Starbucks. Any of you have that? Yeah. One person. It's apparently good. I'm not into lavender. Like went to Wendy's the other day and they have a really good iced coffee. You can just have a coffee. Or you can have an iced coffee with that's original, or with chocolate, or caramel, or vanilla. Did you know that you can get that at Wendy's? I had a chocolate one the other day. Very good. I'm tempted to try all three in one. This passage is so rich. So much more there. Like you can have a pizza. A few toppings on top. Maybe some of you like thin crust. A few pepperonis. A little bit of cheese. Anybody into that? I don't know what kind of pizza we're going to have tonight. I don't say, but I don't know what kind of pizza is going to be served tonight. But you know what I love? I have a friend of mine, he's passed away now, but he grew up in Saskatoon, Ontario. And there's a place called Burns Pizza. Any of you ever heard of Burns Pizza? Oh, yeah. Is it good? Oh! Burns Pizza, it's up, I think, McPhillips, and there's one on St. Mary St. Anne's. I always get that confused. Okay, Burns Pizza. You want pizza. The one I like, Judy is not into that kind of thing. Yeah. It is thick, layered, lots of cheese, lots of meat. I can't remember what the name of that one is. It is, that's a pizza. Rich. Full. Anybody hungry already? That's what this passage is, not just words. It is so rich that you get into it going, wow, this relationship with God is rich, is full. Is really, really good. Let's get into it. 2 Peter chapter 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, who is about to die when he's writing this letter. He's about to die. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have, this faith that was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Verse 2. May God give you more and more and more and more and more. Oh, okay, there's only two more there. But may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. May he give you more. More pizza. More flavoring in your coffee. More, more, more. May he give you more. His divine power. Say divine power. His divine power. God has given to us everything. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Everything we need to live a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us. He called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory. Say glory. Marvelous glory and excellence. He has given us great, say great, and precious, say precious, promises he's given. Oh, it's so rich. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. So not just divine power, but divine nature. We can participate with Jesus. We can live like Jesus and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement or add, like adding more pepperoni on the pizza or adding more flavorings into your iced coffee, whatever it is, supplement, add to your faith with generous provision. Okay, a few more squirts. Add with a generous provision of moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and patience, that they all build up on each other. And I'll explain that in a few weeks. And endurance and godliness and brotherly affection and love for everyone. Verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge, meaning relationship, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Peter, looking at the end of his life, looks to this, doesn't say what group of people these are, but he's warning them. But those who fail to develop, those who fail to grow in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10. So now, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Work hard. Is the Christian life easy or difficult? Both.
Daddy.
Both. But it's when it's difficult and hard that it's easy to try to give up. And Peter's saying, keep working at it. That's why we're together. We can encourage. Keep working at it together. Work hard to prove. When Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? Yes, Jesus, I'm going to work hard. I will be faithful. I will follow you. I'm going to do it. Do these things and you will never fall away. That's what he says. Do these things and you will never fall away. What's Peter thinking about? We just talked about it a few weeks ago. He's thinking about his own denial of Jesus. He's thinking about, he's remembering how bitter he was weeping when he denied Jesus. Who else is he thinking about back then? Who's the other guy? Judas. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Judas, who betrayed. That's what he's thinking about when he's writing these. He says, do these things and you will never fall away. Keep following Jesus. So you won't do what I did. So you don't do what my brother Judas did. My friend for 3 years. And he betrayed our Jesus. Don't do that. Verse 11. Then God will give you a grand entrance. Think about that. Then he will give us a grand entrance. Did you know that when we get to heaven, we will have a grand entrance? We're not going to just slip in. back door or through an attic hatch or anything like that. We get a grand entrance. And all kinds of people, Jesus leading the pack, is going to meet us. A grand entrance if we stay faithful. A grand entrance for every one of us who love Jesus and stay faithful. So what do we do? What's our action? What's our verb? We sit. There are times, I get that. There are times when we just need to sit with Jesus. Sometimes when we just can't actually move, and we just need to sit with Jesus. But there are times when we can take a step and we can walk. And then there's other times when we really grow. And it's all three of those in our journey with Jesus. So, what do we do? What's our application? Without me telling you what to do, we already know what we can do. You already know. I already know what I can do, what I should keep doing, what I need to do. So, around your tables, talk about what's one thing you know you can do to sit, walk, and grow with Jesus. Then pray with each other. And then Cody will lead the last song to conclude our gathering together. And then this week, spend the week in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Go ahead. Share a little bit. What can you do? What do you know you can do? Not a guilt thing. Pray together.